Yeah, yeah. I'm taking my freedom.
Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. My name is Rebecca Whitman, and I'm a success mentor. I believe there are 7 pillars of success: your spiritual life, your physical fitness, your emotional, romantic, mental, social, and finally, your financial life. When you get all 7 areas in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I learned this the hard way. I've always made money. Unfortunately, I spent so much time making money that I never had time for the rest of my life. So, despite not having financial worries, I was never happy. I wanted romance, but I didn't have time to date. I wanted to be in great shape, but I couldn't find a moment to go to the gym. I wanted a more spiritual life, but I didn't meditate. That also takes time. I wanted to read great books and fill my mind with deep thoughts, but I never made the time. I wanted a great social life, not just going to work-related events. Emotionally, I was a wreck because my life was totally out of balance. Today, I earn more money than I ever have in my life, and I work only part-time. I have the relationship of my dreams. I'm in the best physical shape of my life. I'm spiritually grounded. I feel fulfilled mentally, socially, and emotionally. My life is in perfect alignment. This podcast will help you discover where your life is out of balance. My mission is to support you in achieving work-life balance so that you can have more fun and freedom in life. On my show, you will get to learn from experts in all 7 areas of abundance. My guests have achieved tremendous success in their zone of genius. Are you ready to go to a level 10 in all 7 areas of life? You got this. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, and we are taking you from burned out, overwhelmed, stressed, drained, and exhausted to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We are coming to you live from the Bold Brave TV network. Today, we have a really special show. It's all about having a high emotional intelligence, which is called EQ. So IQ, we all know IQ, that's intelligence quotient, but EQ is emotional intelligence. And we have a wonderful guest named Tara Murney, and she's going to talk all about that. But first, I wanted to kind of set the stage for what is emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is the ability to learn about yourself and apply that wisdom to the world around you. And there are 5 key components of having emotional intelligence. The first one is self-awareness. If you're self-aware, you can see your own patterns of behavior and see how your emotions and actions impact the world around you. So we affect people. Sometimes we don't even think we're affecting people because we're keeping our thoughts to ourselves, but we actually affect people through our words, our physical body language, and our inner dialogue. Very important to be aware about that. The second thing is self-regulation. So some people do not have self-regulation. They have diarrhea of the mouth. Like, they can control certain parts of their body, but not their mouth. And they just have no filter and they say whatever comes to their mind. And that is not emotional intelligence. Self-regulation means you can self-regulate your emotional reactions, especially. We respond, we don't react. You have a pause button. One of the biggest things that happened in my path of personal growth was getting a pause button. I used to not have a pause button and I would just say whatever came to my mind. But now I pause and I think before I speak, and I think, is this going to have a positive or a negative impact on the person I'm talking to? And if it's negative, I keep my mouth shut. Self-regulation means also you know how to ease tension and resolve a conflict. So you don't want to make the conflict even worse by saying the wrong thing and then it escalates. The next key to having a high EQ is knowing your motivation. So meaning you have a thirst for personal development. You are driven to succeed. You're not just going through life and going through conversations and dealing with people with no intention, with no motivation. You want to improve. You want to be a better person. You want to have a more positive impact in the world. So you're not doing this just for the applause and the approval and the validation and the accolades. I used to be that way, but you're wanting to learn and grow in your emotional intelligence because it helps you grow as a person. Being aware of your environment and the people that you're around and how you interact and how you impact them, that is a huge part of emotional maturity because kids, they just say whatever they want. As we mature, we get to realize, wow, like my words and my energy really affect the people around me, and I can change the planet one person at a time through having emotional intelligence. The next one is empathy. So being compassionate to what others are going through. When we're not emotionally intelligent, our theme song is, I am always on my mind. It's talking about me, 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 me. Can I tell you more about me? Have we talked enough about me? Oh, let me tell you one more thing about me. So having empathy, realizing there's two people in this conversation, or there's eight people at this dinner party, and being aware that everybody wants to be connected. Everyone wants to share their thoughts, their voice, their opinion, and being empathetic that it's not all about you. Being compassionate. Everybody has some kind of an inner dialogue and an inner struggle and something that's going on in their life or maybe in their past. Everybody's overcome something. So being empathetic to other people is a huge part of having emotional intelligence. And then finally, social skills. Having basic conversational skills. How do you talk to people? So I learned something at a training that I went to on sales and how you build rapport. First of all, you find ways to identify with them sincerely. Oh, you're from the Midwest? I'm from the Midwest. You like to work out? I like to work out. You build rapport by saying me too's. And then if you don't know what to talk about, you can always use form. Where are you from? Is the O, is the F, the O is for occupation, the R is recreation, what do you do for fun, the M is money, what do you do for work, or what's your motivation, and actually have a conversation. A conversation is a two-way, and if somebody's not talking, it's always great to ask a lot of questions and to have active listening. They always say God gave us two ears and one mouth because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk, and usually when we talk, it's not active listening. We're just waiting for the opening to say what we want to say. And we miss listening to someone. They could be telling us something that would change our life. And we're so focused on what we want to say next that we totally miss it. Another thing for conversational skills is eye contact. Eye contact is really important. So people feel like you're connecting, you're present, you're hearing them. Looking at your phone, looking around the room and scanning, that is not emotional intelligence. That makes people feel not seen and less than. The next thing is verbal communication skills. I hear you. That makes sense. Repeating. So what you're saying is really listening and repeating what you're hearing is emotional intelligence. And also open body language. If you are going like this or looking down or not having good posture, that is body language that shows the person that you are not open-hearted, you're not compassionate, you're not fully present, and that is not high emotional intelligence. So having open body language is so very important. And just in general, just being open-hearted, realizing that the person standing in front of you is an amazing person. Everyone is a child of God. Everyone deserves to be listened to and thought highly of. So these are just some basics of emotional intelligence. You're going to get way more after this commercial break. I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest. Her name is Tara Murney. She is going to teach you all about emotional intelligence. She's an incredible spiritual business coach, and she's going to give you so many great nuggets of information. My name is Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We're going to cut to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back here at the Bold Brave TV Network. We'll see you in a minute. Welcome back from the commercial break. It's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We are taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today we are talking about how to have a high EQ with our guest, Tara Murney. So Tara, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. I know I heard you speak the other day on Clubhouse, and I was just so calmed and soothed by your presence and what you were saying. I was like, I have got to have her on my show. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, sweetheart.
So let me tell you, tell my audience a little bit about you. So Tara is an emotional intelligence coach who mentors conscious leaders to experience new levels of clarity, focus, and creativity to create global impact through their businesses. So Tara, tell us your story. How did you become an emotional intelligence coach?
Oh, it's a long one, so I'll give you the Coles notes. I went through a lot of trauma, actually, when I was younger, and speed up the process. I learned to heal myself, actually, by studying a lot of ancient wisdom, which we all have at our abundance. And I did a lot of Hakomi, I did a lot of meditation, I did a lot of journaling, and I actually learned to rewire my neurology. And then doctors started to interview me, and asked me, how did you do that? Because they diagnosed me with complex post-traumatic stress disorder, high-functioning anxiety, clinical depression, and I just refused to take meds. And so I really went on this journey of self-discovery. And through the journey of self-discovery is how I ended up doing all this emotional intelligence coaching. And so I'm so grateful, because looking back, it was such a long journey, but it's brought me to where I am today. And now I get to help so many people across the globe. So I'm grateful. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So people call you the dream dealer. What does that mean?
This is a whole new TV show, but I am a fond believer that our dream state and our waking state actually coexist. And what happens is we wake up in the morning, and what do? We jump out of bed, we brush our teeth, we chug back 2 cups of coffee, and out the door we go and off to work, and we wave off our dreams. And you can actually recall your dreams through practices, and you do it through free association of journaling. And I have gotten so many messages in my dreams. Our dreams are these beautiful playgrounds of allegories and symbols. And so if you can just be quiet, like still, and learn how to pull out the messaging, I call them whispers. And then of course you have to put them into action. Then all of a sudden you start to manifest things that you've been dreaming of. And I have done it over and over and over again with myself, with clients. I won the lottery here in Canada, which is like the better chances of being struck by lightning. And so I really try and teach people how to pay attention to their dreams, because there's so much gold in them and we just wave them off.
So give us one modality or one way to access our dreams that we might not have.
Okay. So a lot of people say they don't remember their dreams, and it's because they bounce out of their sleep way too quick. And so when you wake up in the morning, a couple things: make sure your phone is not beside you. Make sure the room is cool and it's dark. There's no blue light on, and just kind of sit there for a minute, like almost as if you're going to fall back asleep. And then I want you to reach over to a dream journal, a notepad, whatever that is, and then just start free association. And free association, that kind of writing, is there's no interpretation. Just whatever comes to mind, whatever you feel, just jot it all down. And then what happens is I take them through an exercise where they go through that, and they can actually start to pull like instructions out of it. It starts to make sense. It's one of those aha moments. And it happens through practice. This isn't something you're going to wake up tomorrow, Rebecca, and you're going to be like, I got it. It's going to be like, it's consistency that wins, right? So 3, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and then you'll start to piece them all together.
Ooh, I like that you say consistency wins. That's for
yes,
sure.
It does.
Consistency wins the day.
Yep.
So what does it mean to you to be an empowered empath?
So I actually believe that we're all deeply empathetic. Some of us are a little bit more empathetic. So somebody who is classified as an empath actually has mirror neurons in their brain and they're overactive. So for example, when we go to a funeral, we have sympathy for somebody. Whereas an empath who was there at a funeral home would actually embody the emotion of the person who lost whomever it is, a family member, a friend, a spouse, a child. So they feel the emotions of people extremely deep. And so it's very important that those type of people learn how to regulate their own emotions, because they can become A, very, very sick, and B, they can be completely overwhelmed with them and then lose track of what they're doing in life, on their goals and their business, with their families, their children, their spouses.
So are empaths naturally emotionally intelligent because they're empathetic, or not necessarily?
So I'm always asked this question. So I think because they're empathetic, they're easier to learn how to regulate their emotions because they're very in tune with their emotions, right? So by simplest definition, emotional intelligence is just being smart about your emotions and the emotions of other people. So because they're already rooted in their emotions, I think they're quick learners. The problem is this is self-regulation. That is probably the hardest part of emotional intelligence.
Do you have any good tools for self-regulating?
Yes. Number one is breathing. That is probably the most important one. So if you're in a conflict or in a situation and you can feel the tension rise in your body, you can feel maybe the anger, the frustration, the very first thing you do, it's the simplest thing to do, is just to return to our breath. It's to return to the breath. And that will regulate your nervous system faster than any modality tool that I give you.
I have heard the mind controls the body, but the breath controls the mind.
Yes, the breath controls both, actually. There's a wonderful book. It's called The Body Keeps Score. It's actually one of the books that changed my life. And it is written by an amazing doctor. And he is saying that if your brain is good, your body is good. So our body responds to our brain, but our breath actually holds it all together. And so our breath is everything, but it's very hard for people when they're in the middle of a conflict, or they're frustrated, they're arguing with their spouse, maybe their children, maybe even a colleague, for them to sit there for a second. I love what you said about holding your reply, your response. It's that moment, that space in between, and just breathing. Just go back to that breath.
The pause button, getting a pause.
The pause.
Button.
I love the pause. The pause is everything.
Absolutely. So what does it mean to be an HSP, a highly sensitive person?
Okay, so the difference between a HSP and an empath would be, so for example, like I was talking about the funeral. So a highly sensitive person is just somebody who is sensitive about anything. So about somebody says something to them and they get defensive. They go to a funeral and they're very overwhelmed. Whereas the empath, because they have those overactive mirror neurons, they actually take on the emotion of that person. So say, for example, a highly sensitive person was in an argument with somebody at work. They were having a little bit of conflict. The highly sensitive person won't take on the emotion of the person who is yelling or screaming at them or who is frustrated. They will just be sensitive to it. They will feel bad. They will feel like they are bullied. Whereas the empath will actually take on that emotion.
So can you be both?
Yes, I think you can. There's no scientific study on that yet. But I do believe that you can be both. I do believe.
I feel like I'm both. I feel like I'm an empath, but I'm also highly sensitive. Yeah.
So I believe a decent part of the 7.3 billion people that we have on this planet, I think everybody is an empath, unless you're a sociopath, because it's the one thing that you're missing, right, is empathy. But I think we are so wrapped up and so busy in the external world, our chaotic world, and trying to do all the things and be successful and go for these likes and all the shares and the social media, that we forgot who we are. Because if we actually go back to who we are, then you will find all of the empathy, which makes this emotional intelligence work so much easier if you just go back to a remembering of who you are.
So who are we?
Oh, that's a deep question. So the spiritual side of me will tell you that we are just energy in motion. I do a lot of quantum facilitation. And so, which ties in actually to the emotional intelligence. We're just energy in motion. And so we are here to have an experience, and all of our experiences are so different, and we learn from each other. You and I can sit down and have an amazing conversation about life thus far in our journey. And I would learn so much from you, and you would learn so much from me. And it's about making the other person's journey that much more enjoyable, and to understand that we are one. There is no separation. There's no separation between anything. That's the deep side of spirituality, which we don't have enough time to talk about, but we are all connected. And so I love the experience of learning from other people and getting to teach people how to get into that deeper space so that they can understand that level.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So what does conscious leadership mean to you? What does it mean to be a conscious leader versus just a regular leader?
So times are changing with the gig economy and everything in the workspace. And I think people are starting to become a little bit more self-aware, and they're teaching their colleagues and their teams things like emotional intelligence and how to have those kind of conversations instead of being just the, you know, the top dog barking the orders at their team players. And what's happening is by doing this work and becoming a conscious leader, you're actually more successful in business, more profitable in business. You have greater reviews. People want to work with you because of how you're training your employees and your team members. That's a
conscious leader. Being a conscious leader is a leader with emotional intelligence.
Definitely is one aspect of it. Yes.
What are some other aspects? Because I love studying leadership.
Oh, I love it. So there is actually a program out there. It's done by a lady named Amelia Antonetti. It's called Designing Genius, and they have a new position called the Chief Behavior Officer. And so they will be working with teams and conscious leaders on how they can help people really make small behavioral modifications so that it makes the workplace a little bit more enjoyable. So it makes that person more productive, the team more productive. That's really another facet of conscious leadership. I do have some leaders that I'm working with right now that are really doing some really cool things. Like they're not taking a day off, but they're focusing on one member of the team, say like on a Wednesday, and the other on a Thursday. And they're getting everybody to get to know that person at a more deeper level than just, hey, so-and-so showed up at work today. Because when you can understand what somebody is going through at that part of their life, or what's happening on the home front, or how they're feeling, or what they need from an emotional point of view, you're able to serve them better. You're also a lot more cautious not to bark at them or to, you know, make them feel bad about a mistake. It's just being aware, like super heightened sense of awareness about the people that are around you and the people that you lead.
And I also think it's where you're taking them, right? Not just, yes. We're not just like, yes, you know, making widgets here. Like there's a bigger picture of where we're taking this business and this team.
That's right.
And enrolling everyone on the team in your vision.
That's right. And you know, Amelia Antonetti talks about this all the time, and I think she's nailed it. She calls it the zone of genius. My zone of genius is very different than yours. So let's find Rebecca's. Maybe Rebecca's not in the right place. Maybe she's not in the right department. Maybe she doesn't have the right job title. And so if you're wondering why your teammates or your team players or your employees aren't really thriving and they're not happy, it's because they're not in their purpose. And so the whole point is let's find your purpose. This goes back to school. This is actually a huge part of my heart space is the youth and the children, because we teach our children, first of all, we don't teach them emotional intelligence. So I'm going to come in there and teach all of the schools across the world before I leave.
And I love it.
And we don't teach them that. Well, what we tell them is in order to be successful in life, you have to be a lawyer, a doctor, you have to make X amount of money, you have to go to university for 5-10 years, you have to have this credential and this degree. And then we wonder why they're so miserable and they're so depressed. It's because we took that passion out of them. We took that purpose out of them. And then we told all the young boys, you can't be emotional. You have to man up. That's not the way a man acts. And here in Canada alone, our suicide rate for 18-year-olds to 25 is ridiculously high. And it's because nobody knows who they are anymore at an authentic level. That's that spiritual side of me that says, let's go back to a remembering of who we truly are, not the masks that we wear on social media or here on a stage like me, you and I, Rebecca. I am exactly who I am, and I know you are exactly who you are. And that comes with a lot of work, a lot of deep work. Like, that's that self-awareness component of emotional intelligence. And so my goal is to help the children and then to help these business leaders, because some of these older, the older generation, the baby boomers, this is a new concept to them.
Right. That's true. And mm-hmm. I think how different would children be if we taught them how to be authentic, how to find their purpose, mm-hmm. how to be emotionally intelligent. And I know it's, I'm not knocking it, but they're learning math, science, English, and history.
Yeah.
Most people don't even work in their degree.
Absolutely. Amen. And you know, a lot of these kids too, they go to university, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, ridiculous amounts of money. They have to pay back those loans for the rest of their life. And they get like a year, 2 years, 3 years into their career. And they're like, I don't like this. Like, this is not me. So I really want to go backwards, but it's hard, Rebecca. It's hard. There's a lot of red tape. They're like, what is this? I don't understand this. And so they don't like that kind of stuff coming into the school system. And that's both here in Canada and in the United States. Change, they don't like change.
Yes. So speaking of self-care, as I'm coughing, what does self-care look like for you today?
Oh, I love this question. So self-care is probably one of the most important things to me. And this goes back to my past. I had a stroke when I was 23. That's why my eye looks a little smaller on camera. I don't care anymore. I used to care a long time ago. But self-care shows up, especially for people who are highly stressed. I was highly stressed. I was suffering anxiety attacks all the time. I had my stroke. I was a hot mess.
So let's go back to that. That's shocking. Like, how does a 23-year-old have a stroke? What were the circumstances in that?
So it was a conglomeration of things. But so when I was 14, I had horrible things happen. And then when I was 15, my mother was diagnosed with DID, which is dissociative identity disorder. So she had like 30 plus personalities. They ranged from a 6-year-old on the floor to one called the Grim Reaper that would take all of her medication and try and kill herself. And so I had a lot of stress. I had a lot of anxiety. I was super stressed out with 3 children, and I was a hot mess, Rebecca. And so I think my body was just saying, slow down, slow down, slow down. And that's what it did to slow me down. And so I really learned through journaling and through meditation that my form of self-care is to really go in and to, some people it's music, some people it's a bath, might be for you, like some people it's a walk. But there are ones, especially 3 of them in particular, that are very, very, very good for you. The first one is grounding. And I know we hear a lot about grounding, but it truly is. Our earth has this incredible core energy. And so just getting out into nature, no cell phone, even alone, you want to take the dog, that's fine, but go alone, get into nature, take off your shoes and plant your feet right on that grass, or go to the ocean and just sit and listen and close your eyes. There's something very energetically soothing that kind of resets our nervous system. And then we get like energy that's stuck in us. It happens through trauma. It happens in anger. It happens in fear. And it literally gets stuck. It gets stuck in our organs. And when we go out and we ground, it removes it from our body. So that's number one. Number two is meditation. Now I have clients come to me all the time and they're like, I can't meditate. I can't focus. I can't do that, Tara. Well, there are a gazillion ways that you can meditate. And there are meditations that are guided for you. They're super simple, easy, 7 minutes, 6 minutes. You don't have to sit there for 40 minutes. You don't have to sit there like a monk for 3 months. You don't have to do that. Just the simple exercise of just being alone, closing your eyes and just let your thoughts come. It does not matter what they are. Just let them come and let them go. And then the third one for self-care is journaling, by far, hands down. When we, this whole part, actually a huge part of emotional intelligence and the self-awareness and self-regulation is really, really important. And it helps us move through it when we journal. when we're not burying our emotions. A lot of us just take emotions, we pretend it doesn't happen because it's too overwhelming for us. And what do? We sweep it under the carpet or we bury it and we just pretend it's not there. And very much like a kettle, it's just going to go until it pops. And then we end up having a stroke, or we end up having a heart attack, or we end up just having a physical ailment. Our body breaks down. We get diagnosed with stuff. That's what dis-ease is. And so when we keep it all in alignment and at a higher frequency of energy, that's where things in life really start to change. And I was a girl who was at about 20 megahertz in her body, which is shame. We can actually measure megahertz in our body. Shame is the lowest. Below shame is death. I was at shame. And that's about 20. Fear is 100 and anger is 150. So that's where I was fluctuating in between that every single day of my life from probably the ages of 18 to 33. And then I all of a sudden went on this big, huge journey of self-discovery and personal development. I healed myself. All these great things were coming. And now you can literally measure me and I'm probably about 540, 600, which is joy and love and gratitude. And just that's where you want to be.
How do you measure your vibration?
So there are clinics here. I'm sure you have them in the States. You do actually. HeartMath Institute, I believe, has them. So they put all these little leads up to you and they can measure the frequency in your body. What's really, really cool about it is they had done this amazing research where they took two groups, group A and group B. And group A, they put in a room, they put on the screen a whole bunch of beautiful pictures like weddings and puppies and kittens, just things that make you like, oh. And they were measuring people at about 400, 500, so they could measure the frequency in their body. And then they took group B, they put them in another room and they put horrible images on the screens, like things that would make you cry. And you're just like, oh, and they were measured at like 20, 40, 60 megahertz. So they do know that we actually can like carry energy in us. Just like Dr. Emoto, you know, the famous research where he spoke to
water. Yes, the water molecules. Yeah.
So if we can do that, and he's done it with plants too. So if we can do that to water and plants, why can't we do that to ourselves? And so that's kind of my theory. And I know it to be true because I've seen it happen a million times over. It's happened with myself, with my mother, with people around me, my clients, and even my colleagues. And so, yeah, it's amazing stuff.
Well, we're 70% water. So we're just a bunch of water molecules. So words that you say to yourself, the words that you allow to penetrate your mind and your being, they all imagery, it all affects our vibration. And it's totally scientifically based.
That's right. And even the word itself, Rebecca. So I speak to my water. I saw you drinking. I actually speak to my water before I drink, before I ingest it, so that the energy of that goes into my body. And I have a whole bunch of people doing it right now as a study for like 4 weeks. So just to see how the frequency changes in their body. But words carry a vibration. So when people say you have imposter syndrome, that's actually not true. There is actually, it's not categorized as a syndrome at all. You cannot find it in the medical books, nothing. It is actually just your inner critic. And the reason why I use this as an example is because even the word syndrome vibrates very, very low. So if you walk around and you tell people that you suffer from imposter syndrome, you're actually going to experience that low vibration because of the words that you're choosing. It's actually your inner critic. But even if you said it to somebody else, the words themselves actually carry a vibration. So you should be very intentional the words that you choose to say to yourself and that you choose to say to the people around you.
So how would you reframe that if somebody was saying that instead of imposter syndrome, how could you spin that more positively?
So are they saying it to themselves or they're saying
it out loud, either way?
So what I tell them all the time is it's actually your inner critic. It is the part of you that wants to kind of keep you safe, very much like our ego that's saying, no, you can't do that because we are wired for safety. And so it's actually doing its job. But you need to change your conversation and your relationship with your inner critic. So what I did was I gave my inner critic an alter ego name. And like, so I don't know how old you are, but I watched She-Ra when I was younger, like cartoon She-Ra. I don't know if anybody remembers that. So I've actually given my inner critic the name She-Ra, and she's like my alter ego. And I've actually anchored it in with a certain bracelet. It's a silver one that I wear all the time. So if I'm going to speak in front of 5,000 people, or I'm going to some beautiful, huge huge corporation in the States. And I know that there's a lot of big, like, stages and big people there. And I'm a little bit like, why am I here? I don't know if I'm good enough. I slap on the bracelet and it's gone. I changed the relationship and the words, because the thoughts are things, right? And so I just changed the entire conversation. And if you look in history, people have done this over and over. Beyonce has done it. Adele has done it. And they've actually almost interwoven that alter ego and that inner critic together to become one. And so now I don't even have to wear the bracelet anymore. It's a practice, but it works. You just have to change the relationship.
So I know Beyonce's alter ego is Sasha Fierce. Who's Adele's?
Carter. It's after Johnny Cash and June Carter. It's something, I believe, you have to look it up, but I believe it's Carter or Cash. Like, it's something to do with that. I just can't remember which one it is.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies, Walk the
Line.
Yes,
my too. Oh my God, my husband's as
so
well.
So powerful. Yeah. So what does it mean to you to be a light worker? I know you consider yourself a light worker.
So I'm so glad you asked this question. So one of my very, very dear friends, actually I'll back up. So I think that a light worker is somebody who works obviously to spread light and to spread love and to spread joy. And I'm being challenged. One of my dear friends, who's UK's number one psychic medium, the police bring her in to look for people. She's phenomenal. She said to me the other day, she said, although I know what you're saying, and you've been saying it for years, and so has everybody else, because that's what we know it to be. She's like, I actually think it's called dark workers. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, we're not really working. We are working in the light, but we're mostly working in the dark. Right? We're working in the dark to find the people, to bring them out to the light. And I was like, aha, I like that. And so this is where emotional intelligence kicks in, because I was listening to her and I wasn't listening to respond to her, because there was a part of me that was like, nope, it's a light worker. But I was really listening to her intently, and she made me really think. And I'm like, yes, we do have lots of light in this world. Oh my God, we have 7.3 billion people, and there's beautiful people on this planet, like incredible people. But there is a lot of like little dark patches everywhere. And so I was like, maybe that's what it is going into the dark spaces and getting, you know, the light put into it. So, and I think we all are like this, Rebecca. We all have that inner remembering that I'm talking about, which is full of light and full of love. And we just need to do our best to give it to other people while we're here.
I was listening to the scientist speak, and she said there's more dark matter in the universe than stars.
Yes.
So our job, or our calling, because job is, you know, just over broke, our calling is to bring light to the dark.
Yep.
One by one.
Yeah.
One person at a time. So if one person is getting lit up by this conversation, then it was worth it.
Yes,
I'm
absolutely
getting lit up. So that's worth it right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it ripples, Rebecca. So remember that one person who's lit up then goes and shares what he or she learned with somebody else, their husband, their friend, their colleague, and then they get lit up and it ripples. And that's how we change things.
Or they just are in a better mood after listening to something, and they're just kinder to the cashier at the grocery store, and they let someone in traffic. Like, when somebody gets lifted up, it is evident in everything they do.
Absolutely.
So we're about to cut to a commercial break. Is there anything else that you want to speak into, just to wrap this conversation up, that we didn't hit about being an empath, emotionally intelligent, being a light worker, being highly sensitive before we come back?
You did a phenomenal job at describing emotional intelligence. So hats off to
you.
I do just want to say and remind everybody, it's really, really easy. Like, you know, emotional intelligence really starts with this understanding of your emotion, which is the self-awareness, which is really easy to do when you're quiet. And then being able to manage, which is the self-regulation part, is the hardest part, because it takes a little bit of unlearning and relearning how to really sit with our emotions and dig for the roots as to why they're coming up. And when you find the root of it and where the main cause of that is coming from, it's stemming from, and you're able to replace it, then everything else becomes easier. Once you learn to manage that self-regulation, you now can use this to achieve your goals. And that's what that self-motivation part of it is. And when you do that and you're able to understand people better, which is the empathy aspect of that,
you start to influence other people in your journey. And then by influencing them, that's what we're talking about, is the rippling effect. Those are those small little tiny changes of kindness that you were talking about that really will be here long after us. That's part of our legacy. And so focusing on this is probably more magical and powerful than people think. And it's really simple to do. It just takes practice and consistency.
I love that. Well, this has been really, really interesting. We're not done yet, though. We are going to go to a quick commercial break. My name is Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We're taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant, and we are live at the Bold Brave TV network. Don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we're going to learn how to stay in touch with Tara. Tara?
Yes?
You referred to yourself as Tara, but then I've been calling you Tara, so now I'm all confused.
I was not going to correct you, number one. And number two, I respond to both, but actually it is okay. Tara after Scarlett O'Hara.
Okay, that's good to know. All right, that's fine. So, awesome. This has been a great conversation. So when we come back, I'm going to ask you how people can stay in touch with you. If you have like anything you're promoting or anything you want to offer, you can do that. And then I'll just do my offerings and it'll be all complete. And then we'll send you the finished product as soon as we get it edited.
You're amazing. You're a wonderful host, by the way. You're a great orator.
Thank you. I appreciate it. If you know of anyone else on Clubhouse or anyone in the podcasting world that would be open to having me as a guest, I would so appreciate an introduction.
Amazing. So I happen to know a lot of people. I don't do a lot of podcasts. I don't usually do too many of them, only with specific people, but I happen to know tons of them because I get asked all the time.
Oh, that would be great if you could recommend me. I'd so appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
God. And I'm going to be interviewed next Wednesday on Breakfast of Champions for the first time by Alex Gonzalez. Yeah.
Alexander.
Alexander? Yeah, Alexander Gonzalez.
I know him very well. He actually interviewed me for I was trafficked when I was 14. I didn't want to shock your.
Oh my God. Wow.
And then my mother, I have 18 attempts of suicide under my belt. I wrote a best-selling novel off of 26 journals that I carried in my possession. And so that's really what led me to all of this work. But I knew you were on a short time frame and I didn't want to like scare your, so I don't know what kind of audience you have. That's not for every audience.
Yeah, I understand. So.
Yeah.
But wow, what a story. Yeah.
Interviewed me. He's a fantastic interviewer, Rebecca. Like, I don't know how well you know him, but he's great. Yeah.
I don't know him that well. I met him on Clubhouse like I met you, but wow, that is a very intense story.
When are you being interviewed? I'm going to make sure I'm there.
Oh, you're so sweet. Wednesday at 9 Pacific, 12 Eastern.
Okay, perfect.
Yay. Okay.
And we're going to be live in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back. It's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We are going from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant, and we're live on the Bold Brave TV network. We're here with Tara. This has been an amazing interview. How can people find you online? How can people learn more about your work?
Amazing. Well, I do live in LinkedIn. That's probably where you will find me the most. So just shoot me a private message there. I answer all of my DMs. I don't have any VAs. And on Instagram at Tara_Murney. I don't have a website just yet. I had to get it revamped by an awesome guy that I met through Clubhouse, actually, because we're working on, I have about 9 projects I'm working on. And so I'm not tech savvy, so I really needed somebody to help me along the way. And just the power of Clubhouse and the incredible people that you meet along the way, like yourself. But definitely LinkedIn is probably number one. I do have a free Zoom if anybody's interested. I'm going to launch it on September 17th. I've done it many, many times. It's absolutely free. I'm not going to spam the crap out of you with your email. It is at 7:30 Eastern. And it's all about decluttering your life, not just your kitchen cabinets and your, you know, your car. It's about your life, your mind, decluttering your social media, detoxing your digital, detoxing all of that stuff, and other ways to practice mindfulness without meditation.
So this is September 17th at 7:30 p.m.
Eastern. Yep. And all you have to do is shoot me a DM on LinkedIn and let me know that you're interested in attending, and I'll put you on the list.
Now, that is really interesting because I was just looking at my Facebook groups, and I'm a member of hundreds of groups that I don't even remember joining. Remember when they first had Facebook groups and people could join you without your permission?
Yep.
So I'm still a member of so many groups, and I started the decluttering process, and I'm like, yes. You know what? Even though these groups are not always sending me notifications, it feels like a lightning to kind of do some digital decluttering.
Yes, it is so good for you, for here. All of it is like even decluttering what we read and we watch, right? Little things like that. There's a list of them. I have about 15 of them. But for anybody who's interested, it's absolutely free. I get asked for the ebook all the time. It's one of my number one talks. So if you're interested, show up.
What is the ebook called?
So it's called Decluttering Your Life and Finding Alignment.
Oh, that's so great.
Yes, I will send it to you or any of your listeners.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes. It's so funny. There's a big movement. It's in America, but it's especially big in Europe about minimalism, which is like, you know, having like one pair of jeans, one shirt, one pair of shoes. Like, I don't know if I could do that because it's actually really feminine for me to like gather and process colors and fabrics and, you know, shiny things. So I don't know. I feel like pure minimalism is like kind of masculine, but I think decluttering, like organizing all your beautiful things so you can actually see them and enjoy them is really great thing to do.
That's right. And usually our external environment is a reflection of our internal environment. And so if you're not really well here or here, you will notice that your house is upside down because it's a reflection of how we are inside. So cleaning up even outside will help clean up inside.
Now, I'm surprised that your main social media hangout is LinkedIn, because I think of LinkedIn as kind of like corporate and linear, and you're a bit woo, as they say in Canada. So why did
they say it all over the world? They don't just say in Canada.
They say woo woo. They say woo woo. Here we say woo woo.
Woo woo. So I am actually on Clubhouse. You'll know, everybody knows me. I'm the girl who's going to change that definition. It is not woo woo. It is magic. And we were all magic. We just forgot when we were kids, we were so magical. And then we grew up and all of a sudden life like came at us and all these like obligations and challenges, and we forgot the magic in us. And so that's really what the definition is. But LinkedIn are my people. Those are, even in the corporate space, people are starting to realize that there's a lot more to life than just the wealth and the big businesses. They get to an age. I work with a lot of people that are mid-60s that have a very successful business. They have more time on their hands, but they want more meaning out of life. They know that there's something else. They're looking for new levels of fulfillment and passion and purpose. Maybe they want a more meaningful legacy. So they come to me and I show them how to find it. That's why I'm on LinkedIn.
That's awesome. So Tara, T-A-R-A, Murney, M-U-R-N-E-Y.
Yep, you got it.
That's how you will find her on LinkedIn, and find her there as well as Instagram. One more time, what's your Instagram handle?
It's at Tara_Murney.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Tara. It was such a delight. And I look forward to seeing you around campus on Clubhouse.
Yes, me too. Thanks, Rebecca.
You're so welcome. So everyone, that was another wonderful episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I really love what she was talking about being just aware, being socially present. I think we're all so in our heads and kind of thinking about our motives and agenda and what we want that we miss so much beauty and magic and connection. So just this week, your challenge is to do active listening and to really listen with every cell in your body. A couple things we have going on here is we have 3 spots available for a breakthrough call. I have opened my calendar to give 3 45-minute calls out. These are calls that are worth $500. I'm committed to helping you have a breakthrough in your health, in your wealth, or in your relationship. So make sure you find the link tree to get your breakthrough call booked. The next thing is I'm offering a free masterclass on how to create a six-figure side hustle, 5 simple shifts you can make to set up your mind and to set up your life for having a six-figure side hustle, because I believe in multiple income streams. We're in a really interesting time financially, and it's always good to have different income streams. So if one area of your life, if one business has a slow month, you have another business that is having a great month. We're also offering $10 off collagen for fat loss and for anti-aging. I've been drinking this collagen now for 2 years. I can't tell you how much it's changed my skin, my hair, my nails, my eyebrows, my strength, and my muscles. I've lost 3 dress sizes. I've never found a supplement that is such a beauty hack. It is literally the fountain of youth. I'm totally obsessed. I don't even travel without it. So if you want to get your $10 off, make sure you go to the link tree and you will see that $10 off the collagen. It's amazing. You're going to love it. And finally, save the date for next week. We are going to be back. We're on a wonderful network, the Bold Brave TV network. We have a great guest for you. It's at the same time, Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. And if you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, please take a screenshot, tag me on Instagram. I'll be happy to give you a shout out. You can also ask me any questions about anything on Instagram. I'm happy to give you some free advice. And please rate, review, and subscribe. Your ratings and your reviews make all the world of difference to this podcast. Thank you again for watching the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show, where we're taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. This is your host, Rebecca Whitman. And until I see you next week, keep your vibe high and your hands clean. Thank you.
Who says you can't have it all? I'm proof that you can. You just have to put your life into balance. Too much of anything, money, fitness, socializing, can overtake your life. When all 7 aspects of your life work in harmony, you will achieve the balanced, beautiful, and abundant life you've always dreamed of. Please subscribe to hear more inspiring interviews. Is there someone you know who could benefit from this podcast? Please share this podcast with them. Please review this podcast. Your feedback will help me target your needs and plan for upcoming shows that answer your questions and feature guest speakers that can make a big difference in your life. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. Feel free to DM me to book a free balance assessment call. And don't forget, stay balanced, beautiful, and abundant.